There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Get me to talk about Keystone because I have steadily made clear that I'm not going to express an opinion. This is in our process, and that's where it belongs.
Hillary Clinton asked again and again, what would she do with the Keystone pipeline if she were president? And you heard the response. So once again, she'd let it go through process, and she's not going in that direction. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. We're going in that direction during this hour, plus a conversation with Luke Vargas from the UN on the Cuba talks, the anti-Semitism summit, if you will, there, and the general counsel taking up, which is actually a pretty big deal. Ivan Eland on DEA data collection that might shock you. He has some thoughts on the constitutionality of it and how we need to pay closer attention, plus the mailbag at the tail end of the hour. As always, you can weave in your two cents. You know that, 855-266-5283. A couple of big nuggets right as we crack things off, including this one. I mean, here you have King Abdullah dying in Saudi Arabia. Hey, 90 years old. His brother takes over, but that process may change things in Saudi Arabia. They had similar thought patterns, ideology, if you will, but that doesn't mean that it's going to continue on the same way, especially with the Middle East in a very precarious spot right now. I mean, really precarious. And when the King died, by the way, all of a sudden oil was surging. You know, there's that push-pull with OPEC over what they're doing with prices. So one interesting side note, and I thought about this right away, Queen Elizabeth is now the world's oldest monarch. Just for a little piece of trivia. How about that? Now that King Abdullah has died. And one thing about King Abdullah is, he was friends with a lot of presidents. He was very tight with both Bushes, and I know that Clinton liked him. I know that a lot of the presidents liked King Abdullah because he was not because he was trying to turn the minds of his countrymen so much, but I think because he was trying to be a proper ally, if you will. Didn't always work out. But here and there, he really took it on the chin where I think he put himself in a position where he easily could have been a target, easily could have been assassinated. And I'm sure he had people that were after him. But King Abdullah dying and passing the torch is a huge game changer, needless to say. And speaking of game changers, how about Benjamin Netanyahu? Has an icy relationship with President Obama, is invited to speak to Congress by the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, who doesn't ask the White House, doesn't say, hey, I'm going to send him a letter, I'm going to have him speak to Congress, nothing. And the White House says they weren't concerned about it, then they act like they're miffed about it, then it's confusing as to what the reaction is. And now it comes out that while Netanyahu is in Washington, the president's not going to meet with him. Wow. I mean, this is a world leader ally, right? Israel. He's not going to meet with Netanyahu. Personally, I think this is more of an in-your-face John Boehner thing because Boehner decided to write the letter, invite him, all of that. And I think Obama's people said, well, then that's fine because we're not having any kind of an official visit here. Forget about it. But they made it a definite. On Thursday, the White House said the president wouldn't meet with the prime minister when he came to address a joint session of Congress. The explanation was that Netanyahu's visit fell too close to the Israeli election, and the administration wanted to avoid the appearance of taking sides. They explained it's a long-standing practice and principle. We don't see heads of state or candidates in close proximity to their elections so as to avoid the appearance of influencing a Democratic election. Now, I checked on this, and it isn't complete bunk, but it is a convenient alibi, isn't it? We couldn't do it because this is why. By the way, the timing of Netanyahu's visit also gave the White House a very convenient way of retaliating against the Prime Minister for his decision to accept that invitation from Boehner and Republican leaders. And Netanyahu worked out the arrangement without consulting the White House, right? So it was perfect. So this is what we're going to do. We're not alerting, this is it. We're only alerting the people in Congress, nobody else, about the Israeli leader's trip. So as a result, you can forget it, because the protocol would suggest that the leader of a country would contact the leader of another country, which is true. But I think Boehner said, forget it, this is what we're going to do. So in the middle of that, you get what I'm saying. It's a big deal, people. It's a big deal. BB comes to town. No, Obama can't show that he's partial to Netanyahu, which he's not. They don't have a good relationship. And this one may shock you too here at the top, since we're talking about the power of numbers and politics and persuasion, I guess, in a sense, right? In New Hampshire, in the latest poll, Mitt Romney is up 18 points. Mitt Romney is up 18 points. Do people really want to see Romney run again? If he keeps getting these kinds of results, you know what? He's really going to be goaded into wanting to do it. He's the front runner in this latest survey. Is that a big surprise? And Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is deadlocked with Chris Christie, Rand Paul, and Ben Carson. I mean, this is a small sampling, granted, but he's way ahead. How about that? And then it goes on from there. It drops off from there. Jeb Bush, by the way, is the distant second to Mitt Romney in that survey. And all of a sudden, we have the same thing we had before. We have all these people forming these exploratory committees and wanting to run on the Republican side of things. And somebody told me the other day, oh, no, Rentz Priebus, he cut down on the amount of debates. But yet, I double-checked, and supposedly there's 9 scheduled. I don't think that's cutting down on the debates. Why do the Republicans continue to eat their own when they turn it into a beauty pageant? Couldn't there just be like 5? How about 4? How about 4.5? I don't know. What do you think? Coming up next, Luke Vargas, then Ivan Eland, and the mailbag on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation.
Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary, not a solicitation for legal services.
Luke Vargas from TRN, live from the UN. And Luke, the UN General Assembly held its first ever meeting on global anti-Semitism. And, of course, there you're there sniffing around. Any big news from that event?
No, I think the biggest news is that it happened. This was the result of a letter written and co-signed by 37 countries back in October. This was way before the attacks in Paris, including the hostage situation at that Jewish grocery store. This was a General Assembly meeting, the first time the chamber has ever discussed anti-Semitism as its stated topic of discussion for the day. You know, I have to say, I listened to these speeches here. Ron Prosor, who is the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, is quite a good speaker to begin with. And so the occasion did occasion, I guess, on his part, some very good language. He basically said Europe is being tested. He says we need a strong and enduring commitment by European leaders, not just to keep honoring the victims of past anti-Semitism, but to protect the Jews who are still living in Europe. He said, and I'm quoting here now, that the world pledged never again, but here we are again. Violent anti-Semitism is casting a shadow over Europe. Those were comments echoed in some degree by the U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power, who spoke, though she very clearly said this is an issue about more than Europe. She referred the FBI statistics that over two-thirds of cases of violence directed at, you know, religious persons in the United States are directed at Jews. So she was citing statistics that here in the United States we still have some work to do, but overall not terribly newsworthy of an event, I'd say.
Well, interesting because, as you said, it came up before the attacks, you know, that happened in Paris. So do you think that maybe, though, this is something that, hey, because of the attacks on Paris, and even though it's not newsworthy, but there's this conversation that perhaps it's something that the Assembly, if they feel it's necessary, they'll have those continuing conversations in the future?
Well, I mean, that gets us to the question of whether these conversations really lead to much. There are so many thematic debates they have on all sorts of issues where I'm not really sure what the rationale is, other than for, you know, a few countries to get some good sound bites from it. But, you know, there are certainly people who would say that the General Assembly, by and large, is quite anti-Semitic in the resolutions that it passes. That, you know, they would, many member states would obviously refute that. But it is another thing to assume that this is a topic that they'd be willing to put on their regular rolling agenda. I don't think that's likely.
The other thing that happened, because obviously you're on the grounds, a meeting on the crisis in the Ukraine, talking about the U.S. calling Russia's action an occupation plan. What was that all about?
Well, so essentially, this is the United States again, Samantha Power, accusing Vladimir Putin of Russia, who last week sent to his Ukrainian counterpart, President Petro Poroshenko, a revised peace plan for him to accept. As I'd say, as your listeners know, but I have to point out, I occasionally lose track of the timeline in this crisis too. There was something called the Minsk Agreement, agreed to back in September. It was sort of intended to be the peace plan for eastern Ukraine. It's been violated from top to bottom, pretty much on a daily basis. But the criticism here from the United States is that what Putin suggested last week was, in a way, an attempt to modify the terms of that agreement to basically strip away requirements that their control of the Ukrainian territory be reversed, that they retreat back to the border. Now he's saying, hey, let's just leave forces where they are. They can't fight anymore. We'll take out some of the big artillery guns, but we want to sort of keep our territorial control up to where it is right now. That's the language that the United States is very frustrated about. The Ukrainians have turned down that proposal from Vladimir Putin for understandable reasons. You know, we'll see where this goes next, but fighting is certainly on the increase there. So it does seem like there's need for something to happen at this point.
You know, speaking of Russia, it's really wild. The talks between the U.S. and Cuba are ongoing or just continuing in Havana, and I'm going to ask you about that, but apparently there was an old Russian spy ship that wasn't too far away from where those, that came into the harbor, that wasn't too far away from where those talks are being held. What do you make of that?
You know, I've heard about that. I've seen those reports. You know, it sort of makes me think of that, I think it was the G20 meeting that happened back in Australia over the past few months. And you had a similar instance where Russian warships were mobilized. They were parked off the coast of Australia. I'm not sure. You know, it's sort of an exercise of soft power, if you will. I don't think there's any talk about military operations or anything of that sort, but it does, I would say, raise a lot of red flags. But why exactly that was necessary at this time?
Yeah, crazy. So the actual talks themselves, what do we know after one day?
Well, they seem to be going quite well. What we do know at this point are some of the issues that have already been breached. You have a few pretty interesting ones that show that this dialogue is relatively advanced at this stage. It looks like what the U.S. Primary demand is that we're looking to see if Cuba will pick up. And it's something I've been watching for quite some time, which is internet access in Cuba. I have been trying to figure out a time to get down there and do some reporting. But major issue is that there are really only about 3 or 4 hotels that have internet at all. When they have it, it's very poor. You'll remember USAID was caught up in a scandal last year where they had been found to be basically paying for a secretive project that would help Cubans use their mobile phones to spread pro-democracy messages. It's been an issue at the very heart of you know, American policy via Cuba, which is that they've got to expand internet access. So that's a demand we're apparently sticking to. On the Cuban end, they have a bunch of supposed demands, which it looks like it's going to be hard to, you know, reach agreement on. One is this U.S. policy, which has been in place for quite some time, called the wet feet, dry feet policy. Essentially, that, you know, if a Cuban makes it to the United States, they step foot on American soil, they are then entitled to be, you know, for citizenship. This is something that the government of Havana has been very upset with for quite some time. They say it increases the draw, basically. leave the country and flee to the United States. They also want to be removed from the U.S. list of countries that are state sponsors of terrorism. That looks like an issue where there might be some agreement. But again, this issue of migration, going back to that wet feet, dry feet policy, is a huge issue for them. I'm not sure the U.S. is going to cave on that. They've given indications that they're not willing to. That might be a sticking point. But again, there looks to be progress on many more things. The establishment of commercial flights between the U.S. and Cuba. Banking agreements that would allow Americans to use their debit and credit cards in Cuba. Those things, I think, are going to be agreed upon. But the issue of more major structural reforms, both in U.S. migration policy and say, Cuba's policy towards the Internet and free speech, seem like much bigger issues that I don't think will get worked out over the next few days.
Yeah, I got to fix that Internet problem. There's no question about that. The moving from Cuba and those ongoing talks to the bullet of atomic, the bulletin of atomic scientists deciding to move the hands of its doomsday clock. I was shocked when you sent me a note on this. How many hours is it now to midnight?
It's minutes to midnight. It'd be great if we were hours. I guess that means we'd be in the clear. Your listeners will know this was created in the late 1940s, I believe in 1947, and it was basically a way of helping the public understand how close scientists thought we were to some sort of doomsday event at that time. It was very clearly the threat of nuclear weapons, nuclear proliferation. It was started at 11:53 back in the 40s. It inched all the way. The closest it ever got to midnight, or that doomsday scenario, was 1953, when it went to 11:58, 2 minutes to midnight. Then it backed off after the Cold War. I think we got to 17 minutes to midnight, which seems so abstract, and I'm not really sure the calculation that underlied 17 minutes to midnight. But we've been steadily moving back towards midnight ever since then. And climate change was added as a determining factor back in 2007. That is one of the major reasons that the bulletin has decided to move up the clock by 2 minutes. Get this, we're now only 3 minutes to midnight. We had been, 5 minutes out for climate since 2012, but the combination, of the, you know, renewed risk of incidents like Ebola to plague many people around the world, and also this realization that climate change, it may not be being taken seriously enough by world leaders that prompted them to make this change. So 11:57 is the new time, 3 minutes to midnight.
I love that. I love that. That's wild. All right, Luke Vargas, always, always interesting nuggets from you, from Talk Radio News in the UN. Thanks so much for coming on.
You bet. Take care.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, sadness and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes heart and body extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down at the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
They come again, catch us if you can, time to get a move on, we will yell with all of our might, catch us if you can, catch us if you can, catch us if you can, catch us if you can. Type of fun when we're getting angry, we will yell with all of our might. Catch us if you can, catch us if you can, catch us if you can.
Very familiar to all of you who listen to America Tonight, our pal Ivan Elin, senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute, once again has some interesting things to say, and you can catch it on Huffington Post, talking about the latest unjustifiable episode of government collection of phone records, which I know the antenna is going up around the nation of so many people who listen to America Tonight who just heard that, because I can't tell you the amount of phone calls we get over what the government can and cannot do and how ridiculous it is when our phone records are so exposed. Ivan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back on.
So talk about that. So what did we miss? And you call it, I'm just going to head you off here, you call it probability neglect, because all of the things that were happening, especially with the horrible Paris terrorist attacks, something else happened here in the U.S. that none of us really followed or picked up, and I have to say I've been all over the story and I didn't pick it up either.
Well, it was on the back pages of the paper because, of course, it was, drowned out by all the terrorist coverage. But this is a database that the DEA had. They claim they have shut it down now, but the DEA had a phone records base, much like NSA, and they were using it for drug cases. And in fact, other law enforcement agencies could use it. This you know, bulk data collected from the phone companies for phone records. And even if they weren't tracking a criminal, they didn't delete the data. So basically what this is that, you know, the government claims it needs to do this for national security reasons. And, of course, it's unconstitutional even for national security reasons because there is no national security exemption from the Fourth Amendment of unreasonable searches and seizures. But, of course, this is a domestic, purely domestic law enforcement agency, DEA. And, of course, they're doing drug crimes, which there's a lot of debate about whether, you know, certain drugs or even all drugs should be legal or illegal since you're putting it into your own body. But that aside, I mean, they're clearly not doing it to save lives in terrorist attacks or using it for ordinary criminal investigations. And that's what commonly happens is we get law enforcement agencies getting something for national security, and then they expand it into other criminal investigations.
Yeah, and it's crazy too. And you, as you talked about it being buried on the back pages of the newspaper, we go to that issue that you and I have talked about a lot about constitutionality, what is, what isn't, that kind of thing. And you wonder if, you know, when we look at the bulk collection and we look at now what's happening and we look at the violations of the Constitution or not and warrants, etc. You know, you'd have to think. I guess they just have to be much more specific, and you and I have said this too, and you talk about it in your piece, on probable cause, right? And certainly showing that a crime has been committed.
Well, the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution says that you have to, that the government has to list specifically what it's searching for and where it's specifically what it's searching, you know, the location or the, you know, means your phone calls or whatever, and they must have a probable cause that a crime has been committed. Well, both of those things are absent from here because the founders didn't like general warrants. That's why the specificity requirement is there, and they didn't like general warrants because the British troops used those to go on fishing expeditions to find stuff that people did wrong. You know, to keep order in the colonies. And the second reason that they put the second thing, the probable cause requirement, is so that they can't use a lesser standard. Well, they're using a lesser standard. The DEA and also the NSA can go into their database. First of all, it is a general warrant because they're collecting phone records from everybody. Everybody can't be a potential criminal. And so there's no probable cause that they have. And when they access this to collect the data in the first place, but then when they access it, they use the standard that's less than probable cause. They use reasonable and actionable suspicion by a law enforcement agent. And that's not a court passing on it. That's just bureaucrat saying, yeah, I think it's, you know, we're suspicious that something's going on here. So it doesn't meet a constitutional standard in many respects. And, you know, I think it just, you don't have to be a lawyer. This gets a little bit involved in lawyerly things. I'm not a lawyer, but I am familiar with these provisions. But the average citizen should say it's common sense, but not everybody can be a criminal. And so why do they have these phone records? And they say, well, you know, this is not really a search and seizure. Well, it certainly is because they're collecting your data and having it sitting there. And they may not monitor your content unless they have a reasonable suspicion, but they can gain a lot. It's very disingenuous for these agencies to say that they're not looking at the content unless there's a suspicion of a crime. But the problem is nowadays they can get a lot more by traffic analysis. That is, all they have to do is know what number called what number, how long they talk, and they can make a web of contacts. And, of course, that's very valuable to them. That's sometimes even more valuable than the content of the actual calls.
Yeah. And you mentioned it that Senator Leahy did point it out. I mean, he did, after he found out about the DEA program, he did jump all over this with the attorney general, or at least wrote to him anyway, saying that this was crazy and this was, what did he call it, as you quoted him, suspicionless intrusion into Americans' privacy without judicial warrants and indiscriminately collecting an enormous amount of information about many Americans for use in routine criminal investigations rather than national security efforts. And I guess we come back around to that, as I was saying at the top, because we think initially, oh, the first time around was Snowden and what happened and the revelations, national security, this was national security, it was metadata, and we're doing this and we're doing that. But people are getting smarter and they're starting to realize, no, there's much more going on here, right?
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely miraculous that Leahy's objection had some effect. Apparently, they discontinued the program and destroyed the data. But, of course, that doesn't mean they can't use this precedent in the future of the NSA to expand their searching of phone records and that sort of thing. And let's go back to the NSA one for a second. You know, all branches of government agree that the NSA should be doing that. But guess what? All branches of government are doing something that's unconstitutional. The Fourth Amendment has no exemption for national security, and you still need to get a warrant based on the probable cause that a crime has been committed. In fact, the Constitution is set up to guard against intrusion of civil liberties when there's a crisis, when there's a national security crisis, et cetera. That's why there is no national security exemption for stuff like the Fourth Amendment or a jury trial or anything else, because it's in times of crisis that you really need these protections. And, of course, they're saying, well, these phone records, the NSA needs to do this for, to protect us against terrorists. But, in fact, the security agencies can do just fine by getting a warrant. And there's provisions in there where if they really don't have time to get a warrant, they can do it retroactively. So the law that George Bush originally broke was not really constraining the government at all in this matter. And so Bush just really wanted to flout the law, I think, to show that he could expand executive power in time of emergency. And, of course, that's what the Constitution is supposed to prevent.
Yeah, and as you said, too, I mean, okay, that's great. It's supposedly this is it. The program's disbanded, whatever. It's suspended.
Well, the DEA program is disbanded, but the NSA program is going full bore with all three branches of government supporting it, but it's still unconstitutional.
Yeah, I agree. And now we saw what happened, sadly, in Paris. And do you think that sort of ignites that as, okay, hey, because people are worried and about violence, and so we can always put this in our back pocket? I mean, thinking of, all right, we're going to be facing more challenges here? Because I think there's definitely legal precedents to go after, frankly, the government on some of this.
Yeah. I think, the problem that we have is any terrorist attack that comes up anywhere and gets a lot of publicity, people, Americans think, well, boy, I bet that could happen here, especially in a country like France, which seems more like us than Nigeria, right? We think of Nigeria as a developing country. France is a developed country, and they have Muslims. We have Muslims here. Of course, the two situations are much different, and I think it scares people. We have a lot less terrorism than Europe because we're a lot farther away. We don't have the Muslim populations that are not integrated. The Muslim populations and other minorities are much better integrated here. And also, the Muslims aren't radicalized here like they are. Some of them are in Europe. Not all of Muslims are radicalized in Europe, but some of them are. And so it's a different situation. And I think, our security agencies pounce on this to get more money, funds, and authority. And I think we have to be very careful about this because a lot of these situations overseas don't apply to us since we're so far away from the world conflict zone.
Yeah. Ivan Eland, Senior Fellow and Director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute, as always, thank you so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks, T.
On
on Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
And like a roller derby, we go round and round and round, and we come to the final stop here for this hour. Ending on one of my favorite things. I love the mailbag. I say this all the time because you overwhelm me with your comments and some of your scintillating opinions, frankly. And just I think this audience thirsts for nuggets of information. I think that's what it is. Your information bugs. And you end up sending me some pretty cool stuff along the way, too. You can always do that. Trust me. I get a lot of email from Sarasota. I get a lot of email from all over Florida, California, Texas, New Hampshire. We have our great new affiliate, New Hampshire, and a whole bunch of other places that, you know, you really surprised me. Anyway, I think it's terrific. So once again, I am overwhelmed by the amount of email. Let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Make him do that again.
You have mail, mistress.
Nice. Okay, so I do have mail. Let's hit it. This one from Joseph, who says, Kate, King Abdullah being down is a huge deal, and that chaos in Yemen is something to absolutely be concerned with. You call it the quicksand. I say that it's even more like cement now more than ever. And hey, listen, I have a lot of friends that live in Israel and live in some other parts of the Middle East. And think about traveling to see the Holy Lands. Who wouldn't want to do that? Let's hope they don't get destroyed by this fearless band of thugs calling themselves ISIS or ISIL or Al-Qaeda is their banner or whatever it is at the moment. I think it is pretty frightening times for the people who live there, and the way the world works, you wonder where it's going to turn next. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I'll tell you, Iran is the other thing. You have to be concerned about Iran, what's going to happen there. And certainly, Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu, clearly, you know the relationship between Israel and Iran, as it should be, since Iran basically is saying that the Holocaust never existed and all this other stuff. And you look at the resignation of the president in Yemen, and I think that took a lot of people by surprise that happened, and it just makes the risk there that much bigger, because that's the Arab world's poorest country, and it's even more of a breeding ground for Al-Qaeda now in the Arabian Peninsula, which has claimed massive responsibility, for anti-Western attacks, including the assault on Charlie Hebdo in Paris. So you got the resignation of President Abdu Rabu Mansour Hadi, which brings full circle the Arab Spring Revolution, which then booted out the former president in 2011, and you have massive popular protests. So I'll tell you, this is the death knell, really, for whatever the accomplishments were in 2011 for that whole Arab Spring thing, because forget Arab Spring. Who's talking about Arab Spring now? I mean, we're talking about uncharted waters, baby. We really are. I'll tell you what, the United Nations ought to be all over this. I mean, the prospect of what could happen there in the upcoming days is really, truly unprecedented. And it might not be being talked about enough, but when you have a big ally who died in Saudi Arabia, King Abdullah, how many times did I bring his name up on this show? When you have an ally, also the president of Yemen, you have the president resigning. And then here we are with Benjamin Netanyahu and the powder keg that has ignited, even in the United States, right? Because you've got the Speaker of the House inviting Netanyahu to come and speak to both chambers, but not through the normal protocols, blah, blah, blah. And then the President of the United States saying, oh, it's too close to an election, so this is normal protocol. We wouldn't be seen together, so there's going to be no conversation there. Man, I'm telling you, wheels off. All right, I went down a rabbit trail, but I agree. I think it's scary, scary times. Concrete, you're right. From quicksand to concrete. Let's hope something changes there. How about this one from AJ? Hats off, Miss Delaney. Boy, you've had some incredible guests lately, I have to say. You had a couple of congressmen on the other night. What I loved is one was Republican light, one was Republican hardcore, but both backed up why they were saying what they were saying and piggybacked it off of the State of the Union. And I'm a Democrat. You've had Democrats on the show. I know you've had Debbie Wasserman Schultz on the show before. So I think it's pretty exciting, the guest lineup that you bring to America tonight. Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. And I think also when we had Jim DeFelice on, the writer of American Sniper, and he was excellent. He was on just a couple of days ago, too. So there you go. Thank you for that, though. Jay says, Kate, I wish that every single day we didn't have to hear about somebody being held hostage by ISIS, and they appear in a orange jumper, and they have some kid next to them ready to cut their head off. This thing with the Japanese guys, and of course we lost a couple of Americans and the Brits. It's just so sad and frustrating, and I'm not even using the right words to describe how I feel about this. These varmints have to be flushed out. They have to be defeated, whatever it takes. I think this enemy is scarier than some of the enemies in the past, because at least you knew what you were staring down, whereas we really don't know that now, because you really aren't sure where the whack-a-mole is going to pop up and who's going to claim responsibility. Let's put it that way. Yeah, let's put it that way. You don't know who's going to claim responsibility. Boko Haram, ISIS, ISIL, Al-Qaeda, some other new threat, the old threat, Hamas, etc. Okay, this one, I said that there were, it's funny how people perceive me sometimes. I guess maybe they just catch tail ends of things, and that's cool, because it's nice you say wonderful things and say other opinions. It's cool. But I got this one from Tim, who says, wow, when I listen to you, I just think Yankee liberal, and I think you are way out of base when you talk about some of these entitlement programs on your show. I don't understand what world you're living in, but it's certainly not the one I'm living in. Well, I think you're confusing me with someone else on the station that you're listening to, because I can't think of what entitlement programs I endorse and said, yeah, we got to pump more money into that. In fact, I went through this whole thing about affordable health care, how I said I looked at all sides of it, and then went in and was given this crazy a la carte menu and told how people were so confused and whatnot. So I think that's just a confusion as to who you were listening to on the air. I could be wrong. I could go through all my tapes, but I'm thinking I'm not wrong on that one. Okay, and then I got this one from Norma, who said, heard a portion of last night's show. Do you always pander to Republican guests? No questions, no challenges. Well, I must have asked questions, but no challenges. I'm not sure what that means. Not disagreeing with what they were saying. Agonizing pain of Obamacare, perhaps not for those who have never had preventative health care. Taxes, taxes, taxes. But who are paying the smallest percentage of their income? There is no balance in talk radio, all paid to promote the Republican agenda. I don't think so. I think there's lots of people like me that say, let's look at all sides of it. You might not always like the side I pick, but I always invite opinions, and I always look at all sides of things. Trust, I'm like a Rubik's Cube. You throw it up in the air, right? Thanks for writing. All of you out there, I invite you, AmericaTonight.net, and thanks for listening.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.